This is Dave Bayless for Human Scale Business. I'm speaking with Patrick Pittman, the e-business coach. We're discussing why it's important to systematically watch and measure the results of your online and offline marketing efforts. Patrick, you've said that running an e-commerce site is like driving at night. What do you mean?
You know, that analogy can go a couple different ways, but the first thing is that it's hard. It's harder than driving in the daytime. And at the same time, you can see only a little bit ahead with the headlights on the car, but you can drive all the way home and get to your destination. But it also just requires tools and is certainly manageable and can be done just as well and quickly as if it were daylight, if you know what tools to use.
So when you talk about tools, tools to do what in particular?
To play with the analogy a little more, you've got headlights on a car and you're driving at night. You've got a rearview mirror. As cars advance, there's more and more sensors available so that now if you try and do a lane change and there's a car next to you, the infrared alert, you know, starts beeping at you. The tools keep getting more sophisticated. So I think that as e-commerce evolves, our ability to monitor what's working, what visitors are doing, just keeps improving. And one of the qualities of e-commerce and really kind of internet activities in general is they're extraordinarily trackable. And so we can actually know a whole lot about who our customers are. But it's a different kind of data, a different kind of process to evaluate that than what maybe you're used to if you're selling in person, if you're selling in a retail store, selling at trade shows, you know, any of the other methods offline that people may be more familiar with. And so it just takes that understanding.
So it seems that Google Analytics is the go-to choice for many of us when it comes to monitoring and trying to understand the traffic flow on our website. It's free, and there doesn't seem to be any limit to the number of resources on how to use it that's available online. What's your take on Google Analytics and its applicability to a manufacturer who sells online?
As a tool, it's certainly in the kit. It's something that is available to you and certainly ought to be used to its potential. But by its nature and the way it's set up, it's limited in what it can really tell you. And while the sophistication keeps improving and Google's reach over the internet keeps expanding, it's fundamentally about visitors and mostly an anonymized way. Yes, you may be able to tell whether it's a returning visitor or a first-time visitor, but beyond that, it's just pretty much what the general anonymous visitor does in terms of the actions that they take in the parts that can be tracked on the website. What page did they land on? Maybe what page they came from before they came to your site. You know, that kind of information is useful and has benefits, but it's really such an incomplete part of the picture that to sort of rely on that is missing a lot. More than just missing it, it can be to your detriment for thinking that that's all that you could look at. Even if your time allowed, you couldn't look at all the reports in Google Analytics. So you think that even that by itself is enough when in fact it's missing a substantial part of the information you should be watching.
So if we might consider Google Analytics as a necessary but insufficient tool, what other kinds of things should one be watching for on the website and what kind of tools are available?
I think the evaluation comes into where customers are coming from. So then you can sort of figure out which part of your marketing is working better. And that can include even things like tracking when someone makes a phone call to place an order, to ask a question, where it is that they came from. And you're not going to get that from Google Analytics. Then there's the question of, well, which parts of the page are most impactful? And so a tool like Hotjar or Crazy Egg or others that measure where exactly the click is happening, you can see sort of the heat map, they call it, or the scroll map. These are other more visual indicators of where on the individual page is the most interesting information. So Google Analytics is, you know, famous for saying, here's your top most popular page, it had the most visits. But what part of this page, say in a product detail context, is most interesting? Is it the thumbnail photos that show the inside view? You know, we had an experience with this redesign of a product detail page that made the fact the product comes in 12 colors a lot less obvious, which was the opposite of our intention. And Google Analytics would have never told us how badly we made the page trying to think we were making it better as to choosing among the 12 color options.
So what I'm hearing you say is that in addition to looking a bit more broadly and encompassing about the source of traffic, you should also look in a lot more fine-tuned fashion at the specific elements of a web page that is attracting interest and is correlated with actual buying behaviors on the part of customers. What other kinds of best practices do you advocate when it comes to watching and monitoring the web traffic on your site?
You know, I would actually rephrase that a little differently, because Google Analytics is very good at watching web traffic. But I think that for the health of an e-commerce business, there's other metrics that are at play there, and Google Analytics is never really going to have that as you might want to present it or evaluate it. And so I think about things like the growth in your list, whether it be prospects, which is essentially an email opt-in, or it's customers, whether it represents an order and a shipping address. And the growth in those, the opportunity for those to come back and order again over time, the frequency with which they do so. You know, these are other metrics that have more to do with email and sort of your customer interactions, your customer relationship management tool, if you have one, your live chats that might be going on. In my projects, we're tracking the ratio of incoming phone calls to orders. And, you know, Google Analytics isn't part of that conversation. So I think there's just other metrics that go to the health of the business that if you just focus on web traffic, it's the part that is really almost to your detriment, not just if you're missing some of it, it's almost a misplaced focus.
So a too narrow kind of focus when you're thinking about your overall marketing efforts is problematic and a poor practice. What other kinds of signs or indications do you see that suggest that the watching of your and monitoring of your marketing activities isn't really up to par?
Well, I think that there's needing to be a collection document that represents the aggregated, accumulated information that you're wanting to think is important and track. And that's where Google Analytics is just sort of a website you log into isn't quite sufficient. So I'm not as concerned about what form that document takes as the fact that there is one that is more inclusive of other things, other sources of data of the kind we just talked about. And then that you're looking at it with a regularity. Because one of the warning signs, I think, is that you look at this kind of information whenever some sort of big decision is pending. There's a decision coming up in one of our projects where we have to renew for the next 12 months a contract with an email service provider for all the email marketing activities. How much that's going to cost to sign up for the next year? If we just looked at this at that point, if we sort of said, okay, now we should just stop and go back over the last year and see how our email did, how big our list is, whether it's working, it sort of lends itself to this, like, you go look at information when there's some sort of big decision rather than looking at it on a regular and frequent basis. Back to the example of driving at night, if you imagine yourself in a car saying, okay, we just went 300 miles, let's just stop and look back at where we were, you know, shine the flashlight down the road and try and think about all those curves and twists and bridges we crossed 300 miles back, you're never going to have an understanding of really look at that clearly. But as you go, in front of you, there's a 50 meters of clear road and the headlights you're watching as it comes at you, and you have that ability to collect it, to save it, to be aware of it. And that frequency of looking at it is something that's an important sort of sign that you're on the right track.
So I can see that just limiting your analysis to something that's event-driven, where you're making a big decision, doesn't make a lot of sense. But how frequently should this information be reviewed, and who should be reviewing it?
Well, the frequency is going to be kind of varying on what the information is, whether it be weekly to monthly to quarterly. I think those are all useful and common measures of frequency. And as far as who, I think it really ought to be a group discussion. You know, my experience is if there's like a Wednesday morning marketing meeting, then that's the kind of stuff that should be brought up where other people can ask questions and evaluate things. But it's important to have one person in particular be able to sort of vouch for the accuracy and the integrity of that data. In all these systems, and the certain fragility to the internet and tracking and software updates can break certain monitoring systems. But to have it in a group evaluation where it yields discussion and observations, that's really important. something that often comes up has nothing to do with measurement and everything to do with your team dynamics is that if the situation is such that a bad result can yield this outburst from the boss, or there's a sense of fear of being shown to have a poor performing circumstance and then have the group have a dynamic that's kind of hostile or critical, all those things tend to push these things to the back burner, and people will resist looking at the results because of the natures of the team dynamics. So that is often more than just the technology of tracking, you know, how the phone call yielded the website visitor. It's not the technology so much that gets in the way. It's often the human insecurities or the fear of being measured and criticized that kind of often slows these things down. And then people start resisting the process and make it sort of they push it off as much as they can to then it ends up being, well, it's time to renew that contract again. Was it working or was it not? A once a year kind of decision. And by that point, you've lost the ability to navigate a quick changing shopping environment and your sales will suffer because of it.
It strikes me that there are innumerable ways in which one could watch and track website traffic, visitor segments, and other kinds of marketing indicators. How might one go about prioritizing what should be watched?
If we're back to the level of website visitors' behaviors, what they're doing that is closest to the add to cart button is always a good place to prioritize. The elements of interaction on the product detail page itself, or a category page if there's products being able to be purchased there as well, all of that activity is high priority as compared to other pages on the site that are much further away from that action of adding to the basket. The other aspect of besides the add to cart button is the email opt-in button. Building the mailing list, I think, is one of the most, if not the highest priority. It's more significant for me to take a visitor and get their email address than to get them to buy. And the likelihood of doing that on the first visit is almost nothing. Activity, visitor behavior around the email opt-in process is at least or higher priority than the add to cart. So you can look at those kind of things. And then beyond that, if you're at a point where you're trying to decide how you're allocating your money across various marketing activities to bring visitors to your site, and the problem is more getting that traffic in the first place, then maybe for a period of time, that becomes the higher priority. Sources, where does the visitor come from? For me, this question of measuring what's working is really getting at trying to prevent what otherwise ends up happening, which is we invent explanations for things. The e-commerce shopping experience has this disconnection, you know, from the human interaction. It's this mediated screen. You don't have this sense of noticing as if they would have, say, walk into a physical space with you in your shop. So if you're not paying attention to these kinds of things, inevitably, though, you're going to need to give explanations for what is or isn't happening, whether sales are up or down. And we just naturally invent them. We take some little slight example and extrapolate all kinds of conclusions from it. If we're trying to make our headway in the e-commerce space, this is really just something that is integral, and I think just as important as a lot of the other site-building activities that just get a lot more attention. And when you have a good handle on this, you know, a characteristic is that those subtle changes in visitor behaviors or traffic, even before the production line feels the pull for more orders or the delay or the drag on less orders, you'll already feel like you have the pulse of what's happening. So to be looking at these things and be prompted by the person who's accountable in a proactive way, it yields a lot more sensitivity, a lot more ability to respond and to shift strategy to make a difference. And in that way, you can drive all the way through the long dark night to your destination. You can make e-commerce a much more accessible and satisfactory way of selling.